I had a bill to increase penalties on.
Good morning, and welcome to the April 26th meeting of the House Committee on Economic Development and Trade. We have before us now a bill that has come over from the Senate, and that is going to be our docket as we move forward. Today, we have the good fortune of hearing a bill that's really, I'm excited about, Senate Bill 677A, and we'll invite forward Senators Olson and Thompson to describe the bill and also their additional colleague. First, let's have Mr. Crawford give us a quick orientation, and then we'll launch into the members' presentation.
Perfect. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 677A establishes a cider business as a permitted use on land zoned for exclusive farm use or mixed farm and forest use, provided the cider business meets specified criteria. It lists an authorized cider business activities, restricts gross income of cider business from sale of incidental items or services to no more than 25% of the gross income from on-site sale of cider produced by the cider business, and allows the cider business to hold agritourism or other commercial events for up to 18 days per calendar year. The bill came over on a 29-0-1 vote from the Senate.
Great. Well, welcome. You may begin, and welcome Mr. Lawrence to, you can begin in any order. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee. My name is Alan Olson. I'm a senator. I represent the heart of Clackamas County. Now, every time I say that, Senator Girard always says, well, if you're the heart of Clackamas County, what am I? And I said, you're everything below the belt.
We'll be done.
It's a pleasure to be here today to present to you Senate Bill 677, our hard cider bill. Mr. Lawrence came to my office many months ago.
Yep.
With a proposal, and the proposal was, I'd like to make hard cider out of apples. And I'm going, I'm not a drinker, so I'm scratching my head going, hard cider, huh? So we talked about it, and I told him, I said, we certainly can look at it, certainly look to put it into a bill form, but we need to have support from everybody in the industry. And it turns out there's tremendous support in the industry for this new market, if you will, a new opportunity for employment, a new opportunity for sales, a new opportunity for Oregon to create a market for hard cider. And it's becoming very popular across the United States. And it was with great pleasure that I allowed Mr. Lawrence to do all the work, and I was able to put my name on it. I would say that in working with Mr. Lawrence, they've done a wonderful job. They've met the criteria. People have had concerns, and they've gone back and amended the bill to take away those concerns, so that the hard cider industry can be to Oregon what the grape industry is to Oregon, the wine industry. And I think there's tremendous potential, and I hope that you will consider this bill and look at it, as I do, as a new opportunity for economic growth in our state. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Linger, Vice Chair Smith, and committee.
Don't forget Vice Chair Marsh.
Oh, Vice Chair Marsh.
They're bigger than we are.
That's right. We don't have that many on the Senate side. Sorry about that. My name's Chuck Thompson. I represent District 26. And the unusual thing about this bill is when it was brought, you know, Senator Olson brought this bill. Well, he's not a pear grower. He doesn't raise apples or pears. But he gets to bring this bill to the Senate and to this building this year. And the other one is, that's my constituent. Mr. Lawrence is my constituent. He lives like 50 feet across the line. But he goes to Senator Olson. So I'm here just kind of defending myself. Up in Hood River, there's a lot of places up there that have wineries, and they also do hard cider, and it's very popular. Last week was hard cider fest in Hood River. Thousands of people came up from the Portland area, like they've done every year for the past, I think, 3 or 4 years. The chamber holds that event, so it's very popular. And I think this idea that we've got to kind of match up the pears and apples in that industry is great for the economy of Oregon and several communities around the state. I just grow pears. I grow thousands of pears, hundreds of thousands of pears. I do not produce any of that into hard cider, so I have no conflicts in this. But I've seen a lot of tourists come up to the Hood River Valley and enjoy the hard cider that comes out of this, out of that product. So please support Senate Bill 677. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, one other comment. I mean, I've in the Senate. I said this to the Senate committee, so I can't. I would be remiss if I didn't say it to the House committee. That I grow hundreds of thousands of pears, and none of you are included in this statement. But there are a few legislators that I wish would just grow a pear. Thank you. None of you included. I don't. Clem, he used to grow a lot of pears.
A few pears.
How do you like them apples?
Yeah,
I grow apples.
Yeah.
Not very many. My name is Dan Lawrence. Wow. I'm with Stone Circle Cider, and as Senator Olson, very nicely mentioned, I have been working with this bill and working very closely with Senator Olson's office on this from its inception to its drafting to. Where we are today. I am starting a fledgling cider business on our property just outside of Estacada, Oregon, and I am very passionate about this bill because it impacts me personally, in addition to many of my peers, and we hope to use this to pave the way for to benefit the cider industry going forward. I'm happy to. I have a presentation prepared that I'm happy to go with.
You want me to?
Why don't you just use that?
Or you want to just keep pushing the button?
Yeah, Vanna.
You guys can get out of here.
So, I'll try and go through this quickly, but. as Adam mentioned, SB 677 establishes allowed land use for orchards with a minimum of 15 acres of apples or pears to produce and sell hard cider on the property. So this proposal is based off ORS 215.452, which establishes the same precedent for the wine industry. So one of the main things I'd like to leave all of the committee members with today is that the wine industry and cider industry are nearly identical. They're nearly identical in regulation, product, and process. So from a regulatory standpoint, they're regulated by the TTB at the federal level. Both industries have the same license, or both industries are become bonded wineries before they're eligible to produce. At the state level, they're both regulated by the OLCC, and they're both issued the same exact license. So they're both issued winery licenses. In addition, the process for making both products is exactly the same, with the only distinction that you're using apples or pears instead of grapes. So you take the fruit, you crush the fruit, you squeeze the juice out of it, and you allow it to ferment. That holds true as the nuts and bolts of the process in both industries. So what we did when we were drafting this bill, our instruction to LC was to say, basically, take ORS 215.452, and where it says wine, cross it out and put cider. Where it says grapes, cross it out and put apples or pears. And where it says vineyards, cross it out and put orchards. The only distinction that there is from a substance standpoint beyond that is that we did update, there are thresholds that are involved in eligibility for this bill. So there's acreage and volume thresholds. You have to have 15 acres of orchards to qualify for this, and that is the same as the wine law. And in the wine law, that provides you or enables you to produce up to 50,000 gallons of wine. The juice yields for apples and grapes per acre are different for apples than they are for grapes. They're about twice as much for apples. So we upped that threshold to 100,000 gallons instead of 50,000 gallons. And that is the only distinction between the two bills from a substance standpoint. So the purpose of this bill is to ensure the farmers that grow cider fruit have a path to process and sell the fruit that they grow on their property. So this really enables small farmers by allowing them to add value to their products. I'm from Iowa originally. I think that this is really important for encouraging small farms. In Iowa, the state of agriculture is, if you don't have 1,000 acres, you're not making money farming. You know, this is a little bit different situation from that, but, you know, what's happened there is the farmers have left, or the farmers have become, you know, a lot smaller, and the rural communities have suffered. And this is the type of legislation that promotes small farmers and strong rural communities. This bill also allows new businesses to avoid the costly and time-consuming conditional use process. And it provides cider makers and farmers additional direct-to-customer sales channels, which is a big part of a success model for small businesses. The bill also, as I mentioned, extends to the cider industry the same opportunities provided to the wine industry. I tried to outline before how similar these two industries are. I think the key here is from a land use standpoint, there's almost no distinction other than you're growing apple trees instead of, or you're growing apples instead of grapes. Otherwise, the land use is really exactly the same here, which is why we're asking that it's extended to our industry. And it prevents local governments from creating roadblocks for farmers and small businesses. In my county, in Clackamas County, we're fortunate that we can go through the conditional use process and it only be expensive and time-consuming. In other municipalities, it can be more difficult if it's even possible at all. That's a really important piece of this legislation, or what this legislation accomplishes. From an impact standpoint, it really does a lot to enable the industry to drive and sustain its growth. As I mentioned, it reduces significant barriers to entry for fruit farmers who wish to add value to their crops by processing it into cider. It incentivizes more farmers to plant cider fruit, which is currently in high demand and short supply. So that's actually a key issue for our industry as well. When, just like wine, you can make wine with table grapes, the grapes that you would eat, but you're not necessarily going to make the best wine with table grapes and grapes that you eat. So the cider industry in the Pacific Northwest is facing that challenge as well, where we have a large supply of dessert or eating apples, the types of apples that you'd find at the grocery store. But there are a lot of apple varietals out there that are used exclusively to make cider, and they're not really good for eating, or they're not really used for eating or cooking and sold at the grocery store. Those apples, which are hard to come by because not a lot of people have planted them at this time, are going to be a really important piece for our industry in terms of being able to sustain our growth by being able to increase the quality of our product as we continue to grow. This bill will also help grow an industry that is quickly becoming a staple industry of Oregon. So it's my understanding you have all been made privy to the cider industry in Oregon. So you should know all about the 300% growth that the industry's seen over the last few years. That now there are over 50 cideries in Oregon, that Portland is actually the number one market nationally for cider, so the Oregon consumers love the product, and that Oregon is really in a strong position to be a leader, if not the leader, in this industry nationwide. So it's a really important industry for Oregon. But I think that the information, as you get all of this great information on this quickly growing industry, I think what's less volunteered is that, this is still a new product, and it doesn't jump off the shelves by itself. So this bill allows cider makers to provide educational opportunities by bringing consumers of cider directly to the source and showing them how the apples are grown, what the connection to agriculture is, and inform them more about the product and its history, and really help them understand the quality proposition with it. In addition to that, this bill also establishes new agritourism business channels for the cider industry, and particularly helping cider apple growing regions of the state. And really, as I mentioned before, it brings, and as Senator Olson mentioned as well, it helps bring dollars and jobs to the countryside. Finally, it helps bring a historically farm-based product and something that has a very deep-rooted connection with agriculture back to the farm, and it helps cider makers share that with consumers and the general public. So that is all I have.
Fantastic. Thank you. I think we've got some questions, and we'll start with Representative Brocksmith and then Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, and thank you for bringing this bill forward. It's a great concept, and appreciate all the work on the Senate side. I do have just one question. When going to Senator Olson over Senator Thompson to move forward this piece of legislation, because you are, of course, Senator Thompson's constituent.
Sure.
Is that because that you might have perceived that Senator Thompson had a predetermined prejudice against ciders, because he does grow thousands of pears, but yet none go into the cider industry?
Certainly not. The way that I ended up working with Senator Olson's office on this was actually, I didn't realize I live right on the border between their two districts. And I was speaking with my neighbor across the street about my problem. And he says, oh, well, call Senator Olson. He'll get stuff done. So at the time, I did not realize that I was in Senator Thompson's district. So.
But he got good advice.
Well, and you clearly have two senators who are working hard to make sure you are successful in this project. So let's go to Representative Gomberg, then Representative Post, Representative Helm, and Representative Klum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two quick questions. First, I believe this is the first Senate bill that we've received over here. My question is, how are our House bills doing over on the other side?
It depends on how this bill does.
That's why they're in the Senate.
We're in a good spot then.
I'd like to answer that question. I've done this quite a few years, but I'm amazed at how many bills, and you guys will see it too, that pass the House with no amendments, they hit the Senate floor, and they all have amendments. I go, Why do people do that? I'm just amazed at the process.
We are similarly amazed, Senator.
Yeah.
my question is, and this committee has been extraordinarily supportive of small farms and small businesses, and particularly the spirit and cider industry as we see it emerging. When we begin to develop these cider enterprises in exclusive farm zones, we're also going to have the equivalent of tasting rooms, to use the wine analogy, or farm stands, if we use the farm analogy. How do you see that potentially impacting rural communities and farmlands in particular, if our small cider enterprises open up cider stores on site?
Can I answer
that?
Please
do.
Chair Leninger, Vice Chair Smith, Vice Chair Moore, sorry about that. Rep Gomberg, I live in Hood River, and since the farm activities bill, the first year I came in, I think it was 2010 or 11, that AOC brought to this body, and they passed that. We've had several you'd call tasting rooms, wineries, basically, but they've also included most of them that are in Hood River, if not all of them. Besides wine, they also do hard cider. They're a wonderful, you know, most of the ones that are there, the folks that operate those things also operate the orchard or the winery. So, you know, the impacts to those areas are basically impacts to their own property. So, and I think it's just been a wonderful thing in Hood River. The tourism that and the livelihood that it brings to our valley. We have over 300 growers. Rep Clem knows what I'm talking about. He did that there. We as a grower, I see no issues in that. In fact, I think we invite it. It broadens our, it brings what we do out in the valley of Hood River with growing pears, growing apples, and wineries and all that, just adds to what Hood River has become. And I don't know, I'm hoping a lot of you have been to Hood River. It's a great place. Between the city and county, we all embrace each other and get along and just live life. And I see no impacts at all.
Right, very good.
Yeah. Thank you. That?
Please do.
Chair Leninger, Vice Chair Smith, Vice Chair Marsh, Rep. Gunberg. If you look at the opportunity that the cider people bring to their communities, like Estacada, consider the folks in Portland that have tried or tasted hard cider and they want to see how it's made. It does encourage tourism because they come from the city and they go to the country and they see what Estacada is like, and then they see the forest around Estacada, see the opportunity, McIver State Park, see the opportunity to get out and explore more rather than just urban life. And it brings the mix of rural and urban together so that the Estacadians can see the lifestyle of Portlanders. The rural meets the urban community. And I think it's good for the entire state because it really opens it up and shows people what we can do and why we can do it and gets that intermix that we need so much of.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm pleased to get that on the record.
Great. Thanks a lot, Representative Post, and then we'll go to Rep. Hellman and Clem.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Olson just pretty much answered kind of what I was going. I was going to peel to the core and get to the seed issue.
Oh, my goodness.
And, but so you were trying to skin that fruit,
isn't it? Yes, I was. But he answered the question. Actually, he did. He answered I was going to go to that, you know, how it would brought. That's why I was excited when I first read. One of many reasons I was excited when I first read this, when you guys were passing it around and kind of jumped on it, and appreciate allowing me to jump on it. But, yeah, I mean, this is right up our alley of what we've been talking about since we got here in February in this committee. I wish you knew how many times we've passed kind of similar sort of things like this, and it's been fun.
And I see Rep. Clem going, I'm growing the wrong kind of apples.
All right. Thank you. Representative Helm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question and then a comment. So for both of the senators, I haven't been as active in the caucus this time as in the past, but I'm wondering if the very influential and powerful Craft Brew Caucus has taken a position on this bill.
Well, they had. Oh. Chair Leninger, I have to do this again. Chair Leninger, Rep. or Vice Chair Marsh, Vice Chair Smith, Rep. Helm. They had a meeting, I believe it was Monday, and I missed that meeting. So I think it was on their agenda to do this. I can't verify that, but that's what I heard the rumor was.
Good.
I missed that last meeting.
I did too. So. The comment is, I just want to compliment all of you for taking the approach that you did here. To me, this is the exact right way to do a land use bill, which is to find something similar and fit yourself into it without trying to change the whole system to suit yourself. And I think the reason that we don't see some of the land use watchdog groups here in the room today is because there's experience with the wine statute and how it's worked, and it's working well. This is a small extension of it to just a slightly different way of brewing, and we can expect the same results in terms of, and Rep. Gomberg was mentioning, are there going to be impacts out in our farming areas? We already know what the impacts are from our vineyards and their tasting rooms. So there's fewer unknowns here. This was a great way to do it, and I applaud you for going this route.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was all him.
Representative Klein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to grill our witness a little more and delve down into his choice of senators to work with. So I'm wondering if you're familiar with a 2006 calendar called the Men of Hood River County?
No,
you might want to Google it, because I'm pretty sure there's not a Men of Clackamas County featuring nude orchardists holding a packing bag and some shoes. I've got a copy somewhere if anybody needs to see it.
Madam Chair, can we get those photos into the record?
It was a fundraiser for the United Way. There may be a few copies floating around somewhere.
Yep.
Did he leave?
He's got an 830.
Sure.
So, all right, great. Do we have any other questions? So I wanted to confirm, it sounds like you've worked with Thousand Friends and the Farm Bureau, and no one has any concerns, because I sure don't see anything in the record that would suggest they do.
No. So I did confirm with the Thousand Friends of Oregon's Vice Chair Marsh had asked me about that in her office earlier this week. I did confirm that they have no opposition to this bill. The Farm Bureau did submit a letter of opposition for the Senate committee hearing. It was, to summarize it, I would say it basically said, well, we were against the wine bill, so we're against this one as well. But I wouldn't consider it strongly.
Obviously not here.
Okay.
It is in the record, Madam Chair, and it's not. It was dated March 2nd, but after we did some amendments to the bill, I think that there's no concern.
Great, that's helpful. Well, I think this is really important, and I love how you framed for us the growing significance of the cider industry in Oregon and the idea that we could become a national model and a national leader in this emerging or this increasingly popular sector. So thanks for being here to help make that possible. And Senator Olson, thank you also to you. Any other questions for witnesses? All right, then. We will... We're not going to work the bill today because we don't have the paperwork on it today, but I expect that we'll put it on the calendar for a work session on Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you all very much.
All right, and we will close the public hearing on this bill. Now, committee members, we are moving into this new season of the committee in which we are handling bills that come over from the Senate side. And based on what appears to be the workflow coming over from the Senate, I think we're going to move to a one-day-a-week meeting calendar on Wednesdays, and we'll also move to an 8:30 start time.
Good idea, Madam Chair.
But for now, you have...
Hot breakfast in the lounge.
Hot breakfast in the lounge. The meeting is adjourned.
That's the one advantage of finishing earlier. That's the one advantage of finishing.